Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So game six last night of the NBA Finals, it's going to be remembered. The series is going to be remembered for some injuries. Great play by the Toronto Raptors. Ending of game six, though, Draymond Green calling a timeout when he didn't have one. He's going to get ripped for this. The comparisons to Chris Webber are obvious. People are going to make them. But you know what? Let's be honest. It was the only way the Warriors had a chance to win that game. Look at that last play. Watch how Steph Curry's shot rebounds out, and there's a scramble for it, and there's a loose ball, and Draymond Green is going to the floor. And then watch the clock. There is no way Draymond Green on the floor can grab the ball and heave it up to try to make a last-second shot to try to win the game. The only shot he has is call timeout, hope they miss the technical, and then somehow they steal the inbound pass and throw it up and in. It's miraculous, but there's a slim chance it could have gone down that way. But if he's on the ground and he's rolling around with the basketball and the clock expires, there's zero chance of the Warriors getting a chance to win that basketball
game. That was my thoughts exactly. I mean, even if he had the presence of mind to throw it to Iguodala, who was standing right there, Iguodala can't get a shot off.
Can't get a shot off.
So the only thing to do was call a timeout right there.
I think these guys know that. Webber in the NCAA tournament, he didn't think he had a timeout. He dribbled into the corner, which is, you don't do that. You never dribble to the corner.
Unless you're wanting to call a timeout.
He dribbled into the corner and called timeout, didn't have it. I think Draymond was aware he didn't have a timeout, but he knew, this is it. I got no time.
What am I going to do?
I got nothing. The only thing I can do is let's stop the clock somehow. Whatever results out of this, let's stop the clock somehow and figure out where we are after this.
No,
because that's the only shot I got.
In fact, so, I mean, that was kind of what I think it was Mike Breen was talking, or Jeff Van Gundy, I think, said.
Yeah.
That's actually a smart play. There's nothing you can do at that moment.
It's easy to take a shot at Draymond Green for that, and you know what? Let's have fun, of course. But the reality of it is, that's a heads-up play. That's the only way Golden State had a chance, and he was able to do it by calling a timeout they didn't have. But other than that, that was it. He wasn't going to shoot a shot from his back.
Kane is in the building.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as the Raptors celebrate the NBA championship last night on the heels of the St. Louis Blues celebrating their Stanley Cup championship. I said I did some research last night. The last time an NBA and NHL team both were first-time winners, 2006, Carolina Hurricanes and the Miami Heat. You didn't have to go back that far. Talk about an article I read yesterday. ESPN.com did some very good investigative reporting. I don't know if you saw this on the AAF. What was that? The AAFL? How soon I forgot. The old spring football league that came and gone.
Spring football?
Yeah.
That'll never work.
Charlie Ebersol and Bill Polian. ESPN did a great article yesterday. I was captivated by this. I read it twice. Listen, I know a lot of people, that's not your thing. You know, listen, it came, it went, it's gone. I'm very curious how these things came about, behind the scenes stuff. I'm a documentary kind of guy. I really like the story behind the story. That's why I'm a big 30 for 30 fan. So reading this was like reading a 30 for 30 script. Charlie Ebersol is a young guy, mid 30s, son of Dick Ebersol. And, you know, basically, had done the 30, he was a filmmaker, and he did the 30 for 30 on the XFL, which was pretty good. It was really entertaining. And then he started coming up with this idea for, you know what, let's revisit this. Like, I think spring football would work. He got with Bill Polian. They knew they needed money. But they knew that they kind of put together a framework for the idea of this league, and they tried to get it to so that it would – they tried to get everything in place so that it could be run without any problems for 3 years. So they wanted funding for 3 years, and they so that, you know, people would quit their jobs to go work for this because they knew they had a – there was a three-year window where it's either going to work or fail. But 3 years is a good amount of time. So they put together the infrastructure – of this league. They, you know, Bill Polian did all the kind of due diligence on that, you know, making sure that there's going to be a camp, getting coaches like Mike Singletary and Steve Spurrier and Mike Maritz on board, you know, getting locations. And Ebersole went to go find the money, and they found the money from a guy in Minnesota who was once the part minority owner of the Minnesota Vikings. And he had some like shaky business dealings. Like he had some shaky finances and ended up getting in trouble with the government on some shaky business deals. So they didn't have any other means. They like first week they missed payroll and they needed an infusion of cash and they got it at Christmas and it was not looking good. And they finally, they got things rolling a bit. They got enough money and they were going along. But again, they did not anticipate the incredible costs of what this, how much this league was going to cost. CBS was offering it was a pay for play kind of deal with the broadcast. They were buying the airtime in order to be on television. So there was money coming in, but it wasn't enough. And that's where the guy from the Carolina Hurricanes came in, Tom Dundon, who came in and, you know, basically saw this league. Remember there was all the conversation that he wanted the app, the gambling app? Well, he did, but he also thought that there was a business here that, you know, could be profitable. But once he got in on it, he realized, oh, this thing is a mess. They're overpaying their players. They're overpaying everybody. They need to cut expenses by half. These guys, you know, Ebersole and Polian didn't want to do that. They didn't want to cut the players. But the most fascinating thing about it, and I kind of set this up, the most fascinating thing in the where I really wanted to see the inside workings of how this league failed was the talk about getting with the NFL about becoming a developmental league. And this was I found amazing. So they really felt like the success of this league would be if they could get the NFL to agree to make it a real minor league. The problem that they had was neither the Players Association or the NFL owners had any interest in this whatsoever. The owners always said, we don't really need one. We've got practice squads on every team, and college football, because guys have to stay there for 3 years, they're developing guys into football players for us anyway. Why would we pay? Why would we pay for a league we don't need? Again, when we have a player that we like and he still needs to be developed, we put him on our practice squad. And the NFL in college football is you got to be 3 years removed from high school in order to play. So guys are going into these college programs and they're getting nutrition. They're bulking up. They're becoming better. You know, they're getting better and better as players. By the time they come to us, they're grown men. So we don't need a development league. And Polian was like, well, we feel like we could get really good players. We got good coaches. They went to Demoris Smith. Demoris Smith didn't want anything to do with it because Demoris Smith was like, okay, so if we have a minor league and a player, there's some problems with a player and his contract, he can be threatened to be sent there to play in the spring after he gets done a season of playing in the fall. One, that's not safe. And two, we don't want the owners to have that, you know, as a bargaining chip to use in negotiation with our players. Like, we don't want our contracts to be written in a way that a guy could be kicked off the team or be cut from the team and still remain the property of the team to go on and has to play in this minor league. You know, we want players that if they get cut, they get cut and they can go sell their services somewhere else. But they felt like a good player could get trapped in an organization for a while if a player team said, we don't have a roster spot for you, but we want to keep your right, so off you go to San Antonio to play for the Hotshots or wherever, you know, wherever they were called. And D'Morris Smith didn't want any part of this. So once Dundon realized, oh, this isn't going to happen, and it's possible it's never going to happen, that's when he said, listen, I'm out of this. I'm done with this. And Ebersol and Polian tried really hard to get the at least one season under their belt to see if they could find a new investor. He said no. He said, I own it. It's mine. I'll sell it for nothing. I'm shutting it down. And he did. It's a fascinating read.
I think in order for spring football to work, it needs to be a standalone.
Yeah.
Thing. It needs to be USFL.
It really does. It's funny because, again, there was a lot of things about the conversations that they were having with both D'Morris Smith and the NFL owners that I didn't even consider. But listening to the counter arguments, I was like, how did they ever believe it would work?
Right.
Like one of D'Morris Smith's complaints was, so you mean to tell me you want guys to play in the NFL for a couple of games, let's say they're a marginal safety, but they get like six games of playing time during the regular season. They go through all the practices, they go all through the workouts, and then you want them to turn around and play in the spring in your league?
Hey, they do it in soccer all the time.
So, yeah, so D'Morris Smith was like, no, that's not going to happen. He goes, we're at a new point of safety and trying to limit hits and trying to limit the physicality on the human body in this sport. And now you're proposing that we partner up and that you give us a way to make sure some of our players play 25 games a year or whatever it is.
I will say this. There are certain sports like soccer, like basketball, like baseball, where you could play year-round. Where if you take a month off, you could still play for another league. You can transfer to another league. I mean, soccer players have been doing it for years. MLS,
sure.
MLS season usually finishes in October, November. And then when the January transfer window comes along over in Europe, a lot of those players would go over there and just keep playing. Same with basketball. We've had guys before where we'll say, oh, my God, especially in the Olympic year, they're going to play a lot of basketball. You know, especially if you're LeBron James, where you've played all the way through the finals. You have a couple weeks off, or you go right into USA basketball training ahead of Olympics. But it's doable. I mean, it's tasking on the body, but it's doable. Football, it's just one of those sports, it's not doable.
It's not doable.
Because it's not just the physicality that you put on yourself, the physical exertion that you put on yourself, whether it's running and jumping and all that stuff. It's also the fact that you're purposely trying to hit someone, or somebody's purposely trying to hit you. And that's just more wear and tear on the body.
It really is crazy. Just reading how stressed this was to put this together.
Yeah, it's surprising because I would have figured Bill Polian would know this.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, exactly.
How tasking, a 16-game schedule is. I mean, the NFL, you can't even get the NFL to go 18 games.
Yeah, exactly. You can even with the promise of even a little more money into the pot, they still are like, I don't know if it's a good idea.
Because they know deep down inside, even though, you move to an 18-game season, there's definitely more money for you. But how much will the product suffer?
Yeah, completely. So it was just the inside workings of this. They rushed it because one of the reasons they rushed it is because the XFL was going to launch in 2020.
Yeah.
So they wanted to be first. But there was one line that was great where they talked about Dundon goes, so how do we make sure we have the best players? And Bill Polian goes, well, we're going to get them first. We're going to sign them first to deals. And he goes, well, Vince McMahon's just going to pay them more money. That's all he could. And everyone, they're like, well, we don't have an answer for that. If he does, he does. There's nothing we can do. There was one conversation. It was great.
That's ridiculous.
You can just picture Vince McMahon going, what are they offering you at the AAA, whatever it's called?
Yeah.
And they're like,
$75,000 a year?
Nah, no, 150.
Double
come over
it
here.
Right now.
Exactly. Get over here and double. We'll double it right now. But one of the other ones, they talked about the draft, how they wanted to do the draft. And Polian goes, this was hilarious. Polian's like, well, because these things, it's got to up from the ground floor. We want to make sure that local teams have local rights, right? So if you have a team in Orlando, they should have first rights from Florida players, just because that's how you want to build your fan base. One guy suggested that they do the draft like The Voice, where a player would be like, picking the team he wants to play for. The coaches would be like in a chair and they would be selling their team.
You know what? Hey,
I thought it was brilliant.
I don't care who you are. Great. That needs to be televised.
I thought it was great. I thought it was a great idea. And Paulie lost his mind in a meeting.
Why can't, well, you know, that, hey, they, high school students do it all the time entering college.
So all I could think about was Steve Spurrier going, yeah, come down here to Orlando. We got theme parks and sunshine. And but you get to play for me. I run up the score a lot. And you can come down here and play, you know, just play in the sunshine. And the guy's like, I don't know.
You and I are coming up with a TV idea right now. Why can't we have NFL Shark Tank?
Completely. Yeah.
You put five owners, or five coaches out there, and he's, you know, the guy, the contestant comes out, he's like, yeah, I'm looking for a 3-year, you know, $2 million per year max.
Great. That's a great idea. They were arguing.
And they all start
this
bargaining. Well, you know, you didn't really do too much last year. I'll offer you 2 years at $2.5 million.
Yep. Yep,
I'll give completely. You 5 years, but only $1 million per year.
Yeah, exactly. But you're going to get my expertise behind you.
my God. Can we make that happen?
You'll get what I can. None of these other guys can bring what I can bring you, but I need just 1 year. It would have been great. But Polian threatened to quit. The old man, he was like, I don't want any of this nonsense. But it's a great read. I really suggest, if you like that in kind of inside stuff, that sort of investigative reporting. I like I said, I read it twice. I loved it so much. I read it twice. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So again, NBA Finals is over. We did not get the Game 7, and I'm kind of glad we didn't, because after watching the Warriors get beat up the whole series, I'm kind of glad they didn't have to go out and find people to play for them in Game 7.
That's the only thing I feel we're missing out on, is I wish they, you know, can the Warriors do this? Maybe Steve Kerr can just do this for us, just come out with a roster?
Yeah.
I just would be curious of what his thought process would be.
What was he going to do
in Game 7? Like, well, let's see. Who do we have left?
May have to play with four guys, right? So that's what you got left.
Is it by the too way, late if to sign players,
let's say a miracle of miracles had happened last night, right? Let's just say,
Steph landed that shot.
Well, let's go back a little bit. We'll go back further, because it was. Let's say somehow the Warriors did steal the inbound pass in the final half second and shot it up and made it, and they won the game. Does Draymond get suspended? Does that technical count?
Ooh.
Like, because he got the technical for calling the timeout. But it's not the technical, like, screaming at the officials, which what he was building up.
Yeah.
This was more of a, you know, an in-game technical that's a little different. So, I'm just curious.
I think for our own selfish purposes of trying to figure out what kind of roster Steve Kerr would put out, yes, that technical counted.
Yeah, that technical counted. Yeah.
So we can be like, all right, now you got no players. I think at that point, don't you just send Steph Curry out there and go, we're going to go against five.
Just go ahead. Go one against five. Like, we pointed this out earlier. Nick Nurse box and one defense. That actually worked. That worked. Like, at one point, in the first time they did it, the Warriors kind of were, like, laughing it off. Like, I hadn't seen that since eighth grade. But it did, you know, it did its job. But you're thinking, okay, but they're going to figure out a way not. They're going to figure out a way around that. Was a surprise, right? Like, when it first came out, like, whoa, they're using a box and one. Let's go to the drawing board and make sure we don't have to deal with that anymore. But Nurse kept going to it the whole series, and at times it did work. It really did. So sometimes, you know, Curry had 47 in game three, and then, you know, they didn't have to, you know, they weren't going to use it there. But, you know, at times when they needed to use it, it worked. But nevertheless, it was Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson coming back to shoot those free throws, I thought was one of the coolest moments, because we, like, our generation really doesn't have a Willis Reed type of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
like,
we
borrow that
like.
From another generation of people who always talked about it. We don't really have that in basketball, where we have, like, coming back on the court, right? And we don't have that. And I thought that's where we were getting with Clay, and then he went right back, and then we didn't see him again. Then when Doris Burke said he wasn't coming back, she looked like she was going to cry.
Yeah, she. I mean, you hit on this earlier. It really felt like there was a little too much Homer.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it just didn't. I wasn't comfortable with it because I, you know, I'm in the business, so I know not to do that. Like, listen,
So she should know. But
she
should know.
But sometimes I get caught up in the moment. I guess.
Yeah, but you did feel like there was like a little bit of Homerism because I know she covers the Warriors, or didn't she? She normally covers the Warriors on a daily, or
I think
on
she
a
does.
Daily basis, or because I mean, she covers them nationally.
Yeah, I think she's more around them nationally. So,
it was a weird feeling.
Yeah, like when I used to do play-by-play for colleges and stuff, you'd get a little bit like, you know, okay, you're kind of rooting for the team and you want to pump up the team. But when you got to kind of separate it when you're doing a more neutral audience. And I didn't think she was doing that, but she looked like she was really upset. But again, I can excuse that because if she's trying to express the disappointment that this series now doesn't have Klay Thompson in it, then that's not bad, right? Because it is that was a blow last night to realize he wasn't coming back in the game. You're like, God, what more can this organization do in this series? They're losing everybody. Everybody is hurt. It's almost like Kerr had a relief at the end, going, all right, great. You know what? We did the best we could, but now it's over.
Yeah, like I had said earlier, I didn't realize he was out for the game. I must have missed that part somewhere along the broadcast. Maybe I got up. I saw him go down. I saw him limp off. But for some reason, I kept thinking he was coming back.
Me too. I did too. And then they showed her and she announced it. And then I was like, oh, I guess not.
And see, I missed that part.
It was quick.
Her saying that he's not coming back.
No, it was quick. They went right to her and then came right back, and then it was back to the game.
It didn't really hit me until like the final minutes of the game. I'm like, why isn't Klay on the court? And then I looked up. I was like, why is he not on the bench? Why do they have? And I was like, well, maybe it's a defensive thing. Maybe he's a little slow. It was kind of shocking. But that, and once that happened, I think even Steph probably sat there and was like, you know what, this is ridiculous.
This is it's done. Forget it. I just, you know what, We've won enough. We've won a few. It sucks we couldn't win this one, but you know what?
But if you're a Raptor today, do you feel like you've really defeated the reigning NBA champions?
That's a very good question, but I'll phrase it this way. If you are a Raptor, does it matter? You know, but like to fans and those of us who kind of put this in like a historical context, it might. I don't know if you're a Raptor, you do, but it is a good question because that's what I was thinking about. Like after the game, and I'm kind of laying there, kind of, all right, how am I going to present this tomorrow? What are some of the angles I want to take on this? There was that thought of, will we remember this for the depletion of the Warriors? Like this was not, we did not get the 82 game regular season Warriors. This was not that, right? You know, Thompson missed a game and a half, pretty much. Durant played 12 minutes, right? You know, a lot of the other players were hurt. Injuries happen, but let's be honest, this was way over the top as far as injuries go for a team. You expect one guy to be, you know, maybe getting hurt. Everybody was hurt except for maybe Draymond and Steph and the other couple of role players. I mean, Kevon Looney was dealing with I don't even know, what was he dealing with? Because a broken collarbone, I feel like I can't say that, given that he actually played. Was that a misdiagnosis? Because I feel like it totally should have been something else. Because he was playing. And Andre Iguodala was beat up seven different ways. DeMarcus Cousins was coming back from an injury and at times looked like he was coming back from an injury. And other times he didn't. It looks like some other times he looked great. So there was just way, way, way too much of the medical news from Golden State to make us feel like we got a mano-a-mano great battle for the NBA Finals. Again, I don't think it matters from the player standpoint. They're champs and that's it. But I think from fans, I think if you did, if somebody said to me, you know what, that Finals, man, as good as it was, it's messed up because the Warriors were hurt. I don't think I could argue against that. I'd have to say, well, you know, I guess, but that happens. But I can understand a frustration that the Warriors weren't 100%.
Watch elite athletes from around the world vie for the 2019 American Flag Football League Championship on Facebook and YouTube by following at Flag Football and on the AFFL website, AFFL.com. Games start at noon Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, June 15th and 16th. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could join us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we cruise along on a Friday. Hope you have a good weekend. Watch the U.S. Open. Pebble Beach looks great. Let's talk some travel. Most of us do a little travel throughout the year. How you booking your hotel rooms? Well, I got a suggestion, besthotelrates.com. Besthotelrates.com has negotiated special rates with over 600,000 hotels worldwide and has extended the discounts to you. Simply go to besthotelrates.com, plug in your destination, dates of travel, and voila, you're looking at a discounted rate for many of the hotels that you could pay more for somewhere else. Save your money, book your hotels through besthotelrates.com. Top-notch customer service backs up your reservation, so your stay is safe and secure. Besthotelrates.com. Start planning your next trip today. It's in the name, besthotelrates.com. By the way, any more information on the David Ortiz hit assassination attempt? That's more and
the
more people.
Thing I've seen, they yeah, they captured like some guys. Everyone.
Yeah, they've arrested a number of guys. So you know what that means, don't you? That means this story is getting out. What exactly took place is getting out. I feel like we know a lot, but we may not know everything. And I think now that they're making arrests,
we're missing
that
one key detail.
Which is what?
I don't know.
No, just one thing that'll make you go, wow.
That's our one key ingredient that kind of puts it all together. And you're like, oh, my God, this is a smart Martin Scorsese film.
Yeah, this is like a movie. This is like a movie. I mean, this is amazing. He is a megastar in the Dominican Republic, and a drug lord put a hit on him.
Yeah.
He was going to pay $8,000.
Which apparently is a lot of money in Dominican Republic.
Yeah, completely.
I mean, honestly, if somebody offered me $8,000 to, you know, put a hit on someone, I'm saying no. I'm saying you're missing a couple zeros.
You know, I know, right? For David Ortiz, now one guy is saying that David Ortiz was not the subject of the hit. Baloney. That's somebody trying to protect himself. After he got arrested.
We're trying to get to the other guy, but David was in the way.
Yeah, was in the way.
I'll go through David to get to him.
The big megastar was in the way. The guy that's more famous than like anybody on the island, he was in the way.
Imagine if he came out and was like, I didn't know it was him.
Yeah. I mean, that David Ortiz?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. I thought I was... that David Ortiz? You got to be kidding. I hit that guy?
I was going after David Ortiz.
Yeah. He was sitting two seats over. I could have swore I saw him there.
Yeah.
God.
David, I mean, that Ortiz, he kind of just... He was leaning one way, and I had the shot, and then he just kind of shifted his weight, and that's what happened.
That's what totally happened. God, it's so scary. If you are... This is the scary thing, though. If you are anybody, I don't care, David Ortiz or not, and a drug lord put a bounty on your head and somebody came into a crowd to shoot you, do you ever feel safe for the rest of your life?
No. Not until that drug lord is gone.
I mean, ever, right? Like, no matter where you live, it doesn't matter.
No, and here's the deal. You know, like I just said, not until that drug lord is gone, but drug lords always seem to pass that beef on to
yes,
family.
Exactly.
So
there's always like some crazy son that takes over the cartel.
It would always be like I would feel safe if all of a sudden the entire syndicate was thrown in jail.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. Behind bars. And I knew that they were safely behind bars. No way of coming out. Then I would feel like I can walk the streets of the Dominican Republic. I doubt he ever goes back.
I don't think he goes back.
But he'll be safe in Boston. I can imagine him feeling comfortable in Boston again.
But even there, like they can still get to you. Like they can still come to this country and get to you. Well, maybe I'm watching too many Hollywood movies where that doesn't seem to be a problem for a plot. Like, they've got some, you know, I got somebody like living comfortably in like middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, and all of a sudden two hitmen come into town and blow the whole place up.
I mean, don't they just wear masks and have something on their voice to make them sound exactly like that person?
Right, exactly.
I was caught up. I've been rewatching a lot of the Mission Impossible movies.
Yeah, true. I've been watching too much Breaking Bad, where it didn't seem to like he was living in Albuquerque and they didn't have any problems bringing in hitmen into New Mexico and trying to find Heisenberg.
Let's be fair. I mean, that is Albuquerque.
It is Albuquerque.
What do they really have going on there besides Breaking Bad?
So scary. And by the way, what's up with the Dominican Republic? There's another woman that died I saw in the New York Post.
Can we give an SB Nation AM travel advisory?
Yeah.
Not a ban, just an advisory.
Do not go there. Do not go there. This is too much. I shouldn't use that term. The interesting thing about it, there's another woman from Staten Island. She just died. I saw it in the New York Post. The Barbara Corcoran, whose brother, he just died in the Dominican Republic. There's like 7 or 8 people who have gone there and died. And the country is saying, no, this is all coincidence.
Yep.
No, it's not. There's no way it's a coincidence.
Tony, let me break it down for you. When you have 7 to 8 Americans who are there on vacation, you know, hanging out on the beach all day, it's coincidence when they all don't come back.
They all don't come back. You know what's scary is the woman I was reading about in the Post, she wanted to go there for her birthday. She had booked the flight and booked the trip for her birthday. And her friends who are reading about this, you know, are telling her, don't go. Don't go. You know, it's right now, it's scary. She's like, I'll be fine. And she died.
I'm not going to be a part of that coincidence.
She's in her 50s, relatively good health, and she's dead on this trip, like 7 or 8 other Americans that have gone on vacation. This is bizarre. There's something going on, and everyone wants to chalk it up to, it's just one of those things that happens, you know, when you go on vacation.
Yeah, people die.
Oh, okay. So, people die. Yeah, okay. Let me tell you right now, if you went anywhere in America and 7 or 8 people died in a 3-week span, like pick a theme park, pick a resort, pick the Grand Canyon. I don't care. Wherever people in this country go for vacation.
Where are you
if
going
seven
on
or
vacation?
Eight people died, I'm going on a cruise.
See, there you go.
And by the way, I have to check with my family to see if we're going anywhere near the Dominican Republic, because I'm not getting off the boat.
Nope.
If we are. I know we have some landing spots where we're getting off. And you know what? My father listens to this. So, Dad, text me if we're getting off at the Dominican Republic, because I'm staying on the boat if that's where we're going.
That's a really good day to take in the shops on the boat, right?
Yeah, I think I'm going to be
maybe
staying
hit the casino.
Inside.
They got a buffet on the boat. You're fine.
Yeah.
Don't even do the jet ski like outside the boat in the waters of the Dominican Republic. For some reason, I wouldn't even do that.
I just called up our itinerary. We're going to Puerto Rico, St. Thomas, British Virgin Islands, and Bahamas. Okay, good. I'm not going to the Dominican Republic. All right, I'm not. In all seriousness, somebody needs to look into this. Somebody needs to not take their word for it and find out what's going on. The problem is, if you go down to investigate, you might not come back.
No, that's true. That's very true. Do we have any? And if we have any Dominican allies, they're not going to go down because, I'm from that country. Look what they just did to our beloved idol.
Right, very right. And that's another thing, right?
Nobody who's from the Dominican Republic is going to go down there now. It's like, if they do this to David Ortiz, I'm nothing.
The David Ortiz thing is, I mean, that is...
Well, that's all part of the coincidence, Tony. He was down there on vacation.
Could this be the story of the year? Like, if it turns out to be as Hollywood-ish as we think it is?
Well, you know what? You and I, the last couple of days, have really been all about the O.J. Simpson 25th anniversary of when that whole thing went down. What if this is just, the new version, the
new
next
version
chapter
of that? Yeah.
Instead of it being a court date, it's more like, spy conspiracy, drug lord movie.
That's true.
Instead of it being Law and Order, it's more like I said, Mission Impossible.
I'm not trying to, I don't want to spread it. I don't want to state it. So I'm going to say this. There's speculation. The speculation is he had an affair with the drug lord's ex-wife or ex-girlfriend. Is that what's being speculated?
I guess
in
you're not allowed to do that. They're not really separated, even though there's an ex.
Okay,
there.
Right. Yeah, right. Even if there's an ex, apparently that the lady in question is off limits.
I think that's the rule of thumb. Yeah, the rule of thumb is he's allowed to move on, she's not.
Right. If you're David Ortiz, and again, I'm trying to like put a little light on this because it's kind of deep and serious. Do you feel insulted that it only was $8,000
I would.
Right? You know, like, I'm David Ortiz, for crying out loud. Yeah. Like, I'm not some schlub on the street that you get. Like, I'm David Ortiz, and you only paid $8,000 to have somebody come get me? I'm David Ortiz, for crying out loud. Well, what are you talking about?
Okay, if we're going to keep doing the lights, because I mean, we're hoping for a speedy recovery. I can't wait for David.
God, yes,
I
am
so looking forward to David Ortiz showing up at Fenway Park.
I can't wait.
You know, I can't wait.
Oh, that's going to be great.
But to your point, you know, $8,000. Can we give transcripts of the negotiation?
I mean, we could, right?
The drug lord goes to him, is like, yeah, I'm going to pay you some money. You write down a number, and you just say, I feel like you have, like, these idiot, you know, hitmen type of thing.
Like I don't know.
What number should we do? Is $200 too much?
Yeah, $200 too much. Oh, we should go, I don't know, 1,000?
Maybe do another zero.
Yeah, maybe try that. Gosh.
And settle at $8,000. And you said the drug lord's probably sitting like, $8,000?
Oh, $8,000. Oh, you know what? I'll have to talk to my people about it to see if we can come up with that.
Well, he probably went, you know, there's a couple of them going, $8,000 each? And
yeah.
they're like,
no.
Together.
It's like, oh, wait a minute. Let me go figure out if I can afford that. He's smiling over in the corner like, yeah, $8,000. Now, this is really scary, though, for him. Because, again, I don't know when it ends. Like, when do you feel like, you're right, like the whole cartel would have to be in jail for you to feel like you're not nothing.
Well,
like you're free.
And you can never go back home. That's the way it feels like right now. Is that you can't go back home. If this happened to me and say, you know, it happened to me in Southern California where I'm from, and I had some nefarious people who were just searching for me. If it was Ving Rhames in Pulp Fiction.
Right. Like, don't come back. Yeah.
L.A. is off limits to you.
You lost your L.A. privileges.
Yeah. If that was said to me, I'd be kind of bummed. Like, I can never go home.
Yeah, that's true, right?
But still be worried that, hey, at any moment, if I'm just hanging out, if he had a change of heart, it was like, you know what, we got to take care of that cat. He cost me money. You know, you could get me in Dallas, you can get me in Houston, you can get me in Nashville. It doesn't really matter where.
See, I could see you leaving L.A. to you're just going, I'm coming back.
I strutted on out of there to that music.
One thing that we're finding out, though, again, with people who cover baseball and are kind of covering the story, I'm hearing and reading that there is a connection that these guys have to that country. That you're right. It can't just be, fine, I'll just go back to Boston and never come back. That's tearing a little bit of their soul.
Yeah.
Where they, if David Ortiz can't go back to the Dominican Republic at any point in his life, if he feels it's unsafe and he really doesn't feel like he could go back, that it would tear his soul apart. There is a deep attachment to that country that is not as easy as, okay, fine, I'll just live somewhere else and never go back.
What if a hurricane comes through and ravages that country like it has in the past?
Sure,
Yeah, you know, obviously he could put together a fundraiser and raise money, but he's the type of person who wants to be there, you know, distributing bottles
absolutely.
Of water.
Absolutely. He wants to be boots on the ground. He wants to be on the ground of something like that. You're absolutely right. So that is the sad part about it is that because of whatever this ordeal is, if he feels like he can't go back to his own country at any point in his life or at any point in the near future decade or whatever it is, that's really, really sad for him because they love it. Pedro Martinez is the same way. Those guys love that. They love their country and they love the community that they grew up in. They love the people that they grew up with that are still there. It's a sad story nonetheless, but it's also kind of scary in a way. All right. It's SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM. More thoughts on game 6 last night and where the Toronto Raptors go from here next on SB Nation Radio.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, so let's make the prediction right now. Kawhi Leonard stays, goes from the Raptors now that they're the champs.
He gone.
I think you're right. He's gone. So Nick Nurse, is now going, now has reached the pinnacle. I just saw a list on Twitter of every place he's been to. Yeah, he gets, he's gone. He's like, Mazzia Jerry takes another gamble. I saw a list of Nick Nurse's coaching stops. It's unreal. He stayed.
Really,
it really is amazing. He never gave up on the dream. The guy's in his 50s. He wears a hat with his initials on it. He never gave up on the dream. I mean, at one point when you're with the, like, the Amarillo Rough Riders or whatever it is, do you go, I gotta get into teaching, or I gotta get out of this?
I don't know who did this, but someone on Twitter posted a photo, and it's Nick Nurse guarding Tony Bennett.
No kidding.
Yes.
Really?
In college.
Wow.
And now we know, like, you know, it means, what, 2 months removed from both of those, in between. It's been 2 months, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's amazing.
2 months difference that they both are standing at the top of their sport.
I wonder if Tony Bennett reached out. I wonder if they know each other. They played against each other, but I wonder if they know each other.
I know. Because I don't think they went to... I don't know. Maybe they went to big schools.
Maybe so. I don't know. But that's a cool feature. That's a cool feature. So Kawhi's gone. Let's see. Nick Nurse will be around. Let's see. Mazzia Jerry, does he take these? The reports are he's getting offered $10 million for the Wizards. I don't know. Money's awesome, but I don't know. Stay in Toronto, man. You're building something great there. You know, you just go after. You may have to get another player and stuff, but still, I think the word is out for people that Toronto's a good place to play. So, well, absolutely well done by the Raptors. Yep, we did not get a game 7, but we did get a pretty cool series. We did get a series filled with drama and some intrigue and some good play, some bad play, but, you know, in all, it was pretty complete. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.